Hey, what's up? This is Howard from Light the Torch, and you're listening to Toilets of Hell. It burns!
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. If this is your first episode, what we're going to do here is we're going to give you a metal-related diversion that's going to make your commute just a little bit better. On the show, we normally interview artists. We talk about the news, and we discuss the history of this genre you all know and love. And we make a lot of jokes, and we learn to love along the way. Those are the other things we do here. If this is your 100th episode, thanks for sticking with us. This is your first episode, thanks for joining us. If you like what you hear, you want to hear more, you can always subscribe to our Patreon and give us a little bit of dough. In exchange, we'll give you bonus episodes of this show. Let's go ahead and get started. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me today, I've got my co-host 365 Days of Horror and Brennicide. How's it going, fellas?
It's going awesome, man. Do you know every time you say it like that, I do like a Brazilian Jesus statue pose?
Arms outside.
Every time you say that. Yeah. I've never said that, but every time I come here coming, I'm like, and Brennicide.
Sweet. How you doing, Jordan?
I am doing well. I actually just got back from the post office. I had to mail out a band t-shirt to Bulgaria, and I don't know if anyone's ever had to go to the post office in the past 10 years, but it's always kind of, at least for me, hectic, just absurd lines, and yeah. Now a lot of people seem to be getting passports, at least every time I've gone, and that line is right next to the line I have to go in, and it's always just like, oh my god, I'm gonna be here for hours. But it wasn't too bad this time.
See, I had an opposite experience at the post office, sorry to kid in, but I like went in there and it was like dimly lit and there was no one in there, and my wife and I, we had to pick up a package that they for some reason didn't want to leave at our door. And when we came in there was just like the grouchiest, like 30-something guy who just came out like, what? Like, he just couldn't believe someone was coming into the post office in the age of Amazon.
Well, as a reminder, if you subscribe to our Patreon, I have to go to the post office every month to deliver hand-dubbed cassettes.
Hell yeah.
I spend a couple hours a month there, and I gotta tell you, it sucks. We're doing something different this episode. We've got Howard Jones, formerly of Killswitch Engage, currently of Light the Torch, who's going to talk with us in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I get some questions. Not for him, because I don't want to waste his time with questions like, what is metalcore? So I figured I'd waste you guys' time instead with that. I kind of missed out entirely on, I guess it's referred to as the new wave of American heavy metal, otherwise known as the metalcore scene, in the early 2000s. But you guys were pretty into it, right?
I don't know if I was into it. I was, it just was everywhere. I don't know how you missed it. If you were at all into heavy music, like, they just pumped that shit into our faces for like a good solid decade.
Yeah, I listened to a lot of hardcore, a lot of mall punk, so I was kind of missing everything else that was going on in metal at that time.
Right, but the cute goth girls that you wanted to take out in their trip pants, they were wearing the shirts, and you just weren't curious enough to try to win them over.
No, I was mostly pretending that I liked AFI.
Hell yeah, yeah. It wasn't too different, not too far off. AFI, they kind of went back and forth with this sort of stuff. They flirted with the metalcore sensibilities of music, I think, if I remember correctly. It could be a totally different band.
I don't know, man.
Been like 20 years.
they did like, it started off punk and then went off to like goth.
Yeah, they were like essentially a Misfits cover band that kind of went off closer more towards like popish, punkish, like My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, very, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, they did have the like metalcore aesthetic, though. I remember for their video where they had people spin kicking and windmilling and moshing, that was kind of the closest they ever got to metalcore. And the rumor was that they were playing Hatebreed during the video to get people to mosh instead of AFI music.
I think who really defined the sound of it and everybody sort of copied off the success of was the band Atreyu. Maybe that's a hot take. Maybe that's the misinformed. But it just seemed like once Atreyu came out, everybody just jumped right on that bandwagon. And there was like no less than 12,000 bands that just came out all of a sudden doing that exact same noise, that exact same thing.
I could totally see that. I remember going to the Warped Tour when I was some point in high school and watching Atreyu and like thinking, wow, those guitar riffs are so good, but this entire thing as a package just does not work for me.
There you go. Yeah, no, totally. Probably the single most metalcore experience you could possibly have is go on YouTube and look up a music video from a band called It Dies Today.
Oh, yeah.
It's called A Threadony for Modern Romance, and it's literally every single, like, swoopy-haired, wearing a tie, slow-motion, spin-kicky, ridiculous sort of, like, metalcore aesthetic all balled up into one moment. It's kind of beautiful if it wasn't so hilarious.
And the funny thing about It Dies Today is they weren't a new band when that album and that video came out. I remember them from like the real early days of like mp3.com and a friend showing them to me. They just kind of didn't become more well known until they got signed to Victory, and by the time that album came out, it had already been done before.
Oh man, it's so awesome that you name dropped Victory. I didn't even think to bring up Victory Records as like the catalyst for all of this bullshit.
Victory Records and Trustkill Records were like the two big ones.
Yeah. Victory Records, that little bulldog. Once you saw that come up on the screen there for like a music video, you knew you were in for some bullshit.
Funny little personal It Dies Today story. They played at Hellfest back in 2003, and I definitely jumped on stage and put my arm around the vocalist and sang along with him for a song.
Okay, I'll stop talking shit then.
that kicks ass.
But we're here for Killswitch Engage, which is, I don't know. Well, they were the same, but a little bit different.
I guess what confuses me a little bit is like, you say Victory Records and metalcore, like, you know, a little bit further back, that would mean something like Earth Crisis or Integrity. And I guess around the early 2000s, that definition changed a little bit, and that metalcore became more of this hybrid of heavy metal and with these clean choruses in between, the good cop, bad cop vocals, as it were.
Yeah,
metalcore definitely has its roots more in like hardcore bands that kind of lean towards metal, like you said, Earth Crisis, Integrity, Converge, Seven Angels, Seven Plagues, like those are the type of bands. And then early 2000s, it shifted. And I think it shifted in large part because of Killswitch Engage, who really incorporated the like breakdown hardcore verses and then the clean choruses.
I've heard that the riffage was pretty much for all these bands inspired directly by, was it At the Gates?
Yeah. I could believe that.
I think that was like the big Swedish sound, that melodic death metal thing that kind of got carried over into this genre, and everybody pretty much copped that exact song structure. Not that I don't think At the Gates ever did clean vocals, but these guys somehow they worked it in. Killswitch Engage, they've been up and down. They've had a few different vocalists. I know they started with Jesse Weech, and then they stayed with Howard Jones for a good long time.
Jesse Leach, I mean, he was one of the founding members of the band, and I think it was 2002 he left the band and was replaced by Howard Jones, who was with the band for about a decade after that. So I think most of the big releases from their career, that's under the helm of Howard Jones. Funny little story. After Jesse Leach left the band, our good buddy Phil Labonte tried out for lead vocals, but he lost out to Howard. So that began a decades long quest for revenge from that guy, I think.
Because I know Phil was originally from Shadows Fall, And then he got replaced with Brian Ferrer. I don't know. This was so far back. I don't know what story there is behind why Phil Labonte got kicked out of the band. I can only assume
probably because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Probably he did record one album with them.
Yeah. I knew that much. I think the first Shadows Fall songs I heard was the Labonte era.
Ooh.
They were with Brian Ferrer for a very long time until they eventually broke up. But
yeah, in the Killswitch Engage DVD, Set This World Ablaze, they talk about how Jesse ended up leaving and the band was looking around for another vocalist, and they knew Phil Labonte, and like they were just about to settle on him when the guitarist from Unearth, Ken Susie, had suggested Howard Jones, who was the vocalist of Blood's Been Shed at the time. Then they had him come down, try out, and it meshed well with them. So Labonte always seems to lose out, and it makes me feel really good.
Yeah, well, I mean, he got kicked out of Shadows Fall. He's lost the opportunity to join Killswitch Engage twice now. After Howard Jones left, he tried to join again and failed. And he's been trying to join Five Finger Death Punch for, I don't know, he's just praying for Ivan Moody's death right now so that he can have a chance. Basically, no one dislikes his own band, All That Remains, as much as he does.
I don't know why. They're very successful on that sort of spectrum. Maybe not as much as Five Finger, but like All That Remains, I thought, was always bigger than Killswitch in some places.
No, not even close.
No. You know, in retrospect, you're right. I think Killswitch, they have like movie deals and like they were CM Punk's music for a while. They were a big deal. I take it all back.
Yeah, they've done like they were in what was that video game?
Resident Evil.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they also had something in like God of War as well.
Yeah, they did. Roadrunner had a deal where they had their bands provide music for the God of War soundtrack, and it was like Trivium and Opeth and Killswitch Engage and like a few other ones.
I remember that music video, The End of Heartache, I think it was. It was like they were dancing around in slow motion with broken glass, and the broken glass would show scenes from like Resident Evil 2 Apocalypse. It was back when that's how that worked.
That sounds pretty rad. So, I don't know. You guys are both you guys both have records that you dig from this band, right? What wins you over?
I mean, Alive or Just Breathing is like the Killswitch Engage album. I think it was really like a shot in time of how the music scene was changing and kind of the best of what metalcore could be. I think certainly heavy, catchy lyrics have meaning, which was a big shift from what was popular at the time, which was nu metal. And I think a lot of nu metal kids ended up going on to become metalcore kids in large part because of that album.
My hottest metalcore take, if there ever could be such a thing, is that the absolute very best Killswitch Engage album was Hymn of a Broken Man.
That is such a good joke, and probably only about 4 or 5 people get it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Maybe I can't even say like maybe 7, 8, 6 years ago, time blurs to me. Adam D, the guitarist, had gotten together with Jesse Leach when they weren't in Killswitch Engage together, and they had released kind of a side project called Times of Grace, and they put out like a Killswitch Engage record. Like, it's just what it was, and it was just Jesse Leach on vocals, and it kind of kicked ass. Like, it was a lot better to me than what they were putting out at the time. But I mean, maybe a bit softer than what they had going on at the beginning of their career. But it's like now that they have Jesse Leach back, they're just making that kind of same stuff. So when I'm hearing that they're probably making another Times of Grace record, my mind's blown about it. I don't get why.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was definitely a sign of things to come. I mean, when Jesse Leach and Adam D were hanging out again making music, I think this was kind of around the time that Howard Jones was on his way out. And things were up in the air.
From what I understand, Howard Jones left the band for like a couple of reasons, but like most notable, like he had just extremely bad diabetes, and like it was really fucking up his ability to like perform and live, and also had like mad anxiety from, you know, the constant schedule of working with this band as well. Took some time off and formed Devil You Know, which is a band that still exists, just not under the same name. There was some kind of complications. Do you know exactly what happened, Jordan?
So Devil You Know put out two albums. I think the guitarist in the band is also, or at least was, in All Shall Perish. And I think after the second album, there were some issues with the band's drummer, I guess personal and business-wise. And the way the story's been told is that he owned either the name or at least some of the rights to the name. And they tried to make it work. It wasn't working. And they eventually just kind of said, all right, well, we're going to keep playing music. We're just going to come up with a different name. We're not going to fight you about this. And they came up with Light the Torch.
Yeah. That shit really knocks a band down a peg to have to, like, rebrand.
Sometimes bands should rebrand, though.
Yeah.
Maybe not in this case, but there are some where they've just changed so much or so many members have left that sometimes it's just easier to just be like, all right, here's a new thing. But then you have to deal with starting from scratch again, and sometimes that could be harder.
I just feel for Howard Jones in the situation, because it's like not only is this seen as like, okay, this is Howard's second band, but now it's like, okay, this is now Howard's second, third kind of band.
Yeah.
It's just sort of a few knocks to his career. But
in this interview, we ask him, like, how did you come up with the name Light the Torch? And the answer is, I don't know. You guys will have to listen. Perhaps a little bit underwhelming. Gonna go ahead and give a quick advisory. This interview, it straight up starts out awkward. I did not know exactly what was going on, but eventually I think Howard warmed up to us a little bit and started having fun. But this when this began, I was like, oh God, this one's gonna be rocky.
He's always seemed like a really nice guy. I mean, you guys will notice that I'm never part of the Toilet of Hell interviews because I'm the most awkward human in the universe when dealing with musicians. I just don't have any idea what to ask them. I don't do research and things, so I just ask them about like what their favorite shape of spaghetti is or whatever, and like what TV shows they're watching.
Sometimes those are the best questions, though.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get me in the next one. We'll ruin it. We'll ruin some Legends Day.
I don't think Howard warmed up to us until we started talking about comic books.
Yeah.
Fuck, next time you guys got to get me in.
Yeah.
Not to mention Howard and I were from the same area, generally. Like, all that metalcore nonsense, what with Unearth and Killswitch and Shadows Fall and All That Remains, all that shit is, like, right in my hometown. Or around my hometown. So yeah, maybe we could have talked about...
What's the deal with every band coming from the Boston-adjacent area?
What's the deal with thrash bands coming from the Bay Area?
I don't know, man. But I'm asking, what's the deal with all this metalcore?
Well, you're also going to find it's interesting. In this same area, like, all the sports were invented. Like, all of them. Basketball.
I don't think that's true.
It is.
In the Northeast.
Everything.
Football, baseball. I mean, hockey, Canadian, but it might as well be the Northeast.
All the big sports are invented here.
I'm pretty sure James Naismith was the inventor of basketball, though, and he's from Canada.
Dude, but the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's in Springfield. The Springfield College is it's like the birthplace of basketball is on our sign. But anyway, the point I'm getting to is that there's lots of trees around here. There's nothing to do. It's boring as fuck. The ocean is like 4 hours away. So we just get drunk and we come up with stupid shit. And so we invent sports and we invort crazy styles of music.
And I guess there's kind of like how hardcore has always been seen, punk and hardcore have been seen as like the blue collar working class style of music. I would say metalcore is maybe like the latchkey suburban kid style of music.
Yeah, we're angry, but we're also sad.
Yeah.
Mostly this just makes me miss like, what was the phone that you could pull out the tray and type on the side? Is the Sidekick.
Kick.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there was way more than pulling it out of the side. That motherfucker swiveled. It was like, ridiculous. It was the most trashy phone in the world.
Yeah, I was always jealous of all the other cool kids that had those. I had like a little Nokia that couldn't connect to the internet.
I had a Sidekick. I had it for all of a week. And it was like the Sidekick ID. It was the only one I could afford. It was this one that was like so cheap and shitty. It didn't even have Bluetooth when Bluetooth was a big thing. It didn't have like anything. And you had to have some like bullshit T-Mobile Sidekick network that you had to pay an extra $20 for just to like text Hell people. Yes. And nobody was on it. It was like the worst thing in the universe. Were you, back when cell phone companies could screw you more than they do. Yeah,
thank God they can't do that anymore.
Well, I didn't finish my sentence. It was worse once, guys. It was worse.
Did you flat iron your hair back in the day?
Oh man, I was like disgusting back in the day. I was just like let whatever happen. I was like a gross kid. I was like a crust punk before I even knew that was the thing.
Jordan, so, did you have a flat iron?
No, I had spiky hair.
I did dye my hair black once, and I had the swoop in the front. Mm-hmm. My hair just kind of naturally did that. Yeah. The fucking Belieber.
Yeah. Looked real cool. Real cool. Anyway, I'm glad that I'm 30 now and that's all behind me.
Also, because of that, I had lots of sex.
Me too. Me too, man.
Oh, I've never stopped.
Anything else you guys want to cover on this one? Should we get right into it?
Oh, before we do, can we play a clip of that video that I sent you, or let's somehow get that in somewhere?
I did not see this back in the day, but it's really, really funny. So accurate for the time. If you weren't around for that time period for some reason, this is exactly what life was like. What is this called?
I think it's This Is You was just the name of it. This video predates YouTube. I remember going to a friend's house because he had fast internet and watching this on like his real play or something like that. And it's just the absolute worst of that scene at that time.
Yeah, it was because like because we can't offer video in this. You just have to trust me in that both dudes are wearing the deepest V-necks you've ever seen.
Oh, it's intentionally girl clothes. Like they put girl shirts on for recording this, and it still rings true to some people I see at shows. It still happens, so it might hurt some feelings if you guys check out the video. We should probably link people to it if we can find it.
Okay, but seriously though, back in the day, if you wanted to wear a tight pair of jeans, the major manufacturers were not really like catering to a skinny jean audience. You had to go shop in the girls section.
Yeah, you had to go raid your sister's drawers.
The white belt was just a bonus on top of that.
Yeah. You just picked it up on your way. You picked it up on your way out of Rainbow. Got everything you needed.
Well, here's Howard Jones.
So are you in Connecticut right now?
No. Man, I'm never in one place for very long. I literally don't stop moving. It's pretty obnoxious, actually.
The only reason I was asking is because I'm your neighbor to the east in Rhode Island, and it's like 66 degrees right now, which is absurdly beautiful for February.
Yeah, isn't that insane? And wasn't there supposed to be like some big, crazy snowstorm on the East Coast, and now it's just sunny?
Yeah, it snowed a couple days ago. It's all gone now, and I think we're supposed to get like freezing rain tomorrow. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it's
fantastic.
It's 40 in Texas right now. It's weird that you guys are warmer than we are.
Yeah, that is bizarre.
So your band is now called Light the Torch. Previously, you were known as Devil You Know. I know you had some issues with your previous drummer, which kind of forced you to change the name. How did you come about going with Light the Torch, and how does Soilwork feel about it?
No mention of it from Soilwork.
Just because that's their song title from a while back.
Oh, yeah, I know. And, you know, I even do stuff with Peter, and surprisingly enough, it's never come up in conversation. Well, let's see. Light the Torch. To be honest, we finished recording the album and we had to hand it into the record label and we didn't have a name. So came up with about a half dozen and that's the one we went with. I mean, it was kind of opposite of Devil You Know, because this isn't really a continuation. I mean, we had to kill Devil You Know. So, yeah, different bands, some of the same guys, but, you know, this is different music, different band. Sucked to let it go, but, you know.
Did you have
good things came out of it?
Yeah. Did you leave a name on the cutting room floor that you kind of wish maybe everybody else would have gone along with?
I honestly don't remember. I remember there being a short list. I don't remember what was on it. Yeah, I just kind of moved past it because it was like, okay, did we think about it? We're good with this? Okay, cool. And then we don't have to think about it anymore.
There you go.
But if I can remember one before this is over, I'll let you know because it was probably bad.
The Howard Jones Experience.
Ooh. It's got a good ring to it.
Oh, that just sounds awful. What on earth is that? It's the Howard Jones Experience.
Yeah, if you were to team up with that 80s Howard Jones, you guys could definitely go on the road as the Howard Jones's Experience.
That's just a medley of nonsense. No thanks.
So now that
that's just a terrible blend. Oh man.
So now that Light the Torch is like officially a new band, did you go about doing your new album sort of differently than Devil You Know, whether it be like writing or putting the songs together?
We didn't really do anything different. I mean, you write an album, you know, sometimes you write stuff ahead of time. Sometimes you write stuff as music is being written, at least for me. You know, sometimes I'll write lyrics as it's being written or sometimes afterwards. It just kind of depends on the song. But this is the first time, just like for the recording of the album, just everyone was in the band the whole time, or everyone in the band was in the studio the whole time. You know, it was just, okay, we're start to finish, we're doing this together. And I'd never done that before, where someone's in the studio while I'm recording vocals and going over stuff. And we just committed to it. We've been through so much. We said, all right, we're doing this together. And yeah, we've been through enough to where it was the right thing for us to do.
The first single for the new album is Die Alone, which kind of continues what seems to be a running theme throughout a lot of the lyrics you've written over the years. You have this song, previous single was 7 Years Alone, going back to Killswitch, Eye of the Storm, You Were Never Alone. Is that theme of loneliness and being alone a good writing device, or is it more of a personal reflection on you?
Yes. I don't. And if it applies to both of those, which it probably does, then yeah, I don't know. I just kind of write. I don't go into something with like a plan of topic. Yeah, I just kind of start putting pen to paper, and that's what happens.
So no concept album in the near future.
No, nothing like that. I mean, that would be like a lucky draw for me. That would be really tough. I don't know if I could pull that off. But yeah, I do tend to write about stuff like, I do tend to write about, you know, the emotional stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big old softy. What can I say?
Well, in keeping with that, your lyrics are very personal and honest. You know, I'm not afraid to say that I've definitely teared up to Rose of Sharon in the past, for an example. Is it difficult to perform these songs on a nightly basis and kind of revisit those softy feelings?
There are moments it can be a little tough. Yeah. Yeah, it's, which is, you know, it's part of it. I mean, I just kind of, that's how I write. It's just, I kind of put everything out there. Yeah. And yeah, sometimes it's personal. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's deep. Sometimes it's not. But I don't know. I just, if I'm feeling something, it's going to come out on paper. And yeah, this album's a pretty good roadmap of the past few years. It was rough. So yeah, that's just me. I don't know. But singing it live, it can be hard. It can definitely be hard sometimes.
Does it help looking out on the crowd and seeing people sing every word along with you and kind of feeling what you feel?
No, that doesn't help at all. It's just a group of people that are feeling the same thing you do. It's like, oh man, I feel even worse now. No, I'm kidding. No, it's actually really cool when, you know, if I wrote something and it's connected, it still baffles me because I feel pretty much alone a lot of the time. So if I write something and it's connected, then I think that I'm not the only one who's feeling that way. So it's pretty cool.
When, you know, you're well known for doing the heavy screaming vocals and like really knocking out of the park on cleans, especially live, do you do anything to help maintain your vocals, either practice or doing warm-up techniques?
Yeah, I don't do anything, and I probably should. that has been a very bad habit of mine, is not doing warm-ups and things of that nature. I should probably do that.
I mean, you made it this far.
Yeah, you're doing something right.
I don't know. I still think I should probably do something about that, because I feel lazy if I'm not. So I think I'll try this. Maybe I'll give it a go this round.
You do the do re mi warm-ups. You can gargle some salt water. There's some things out there.
Oh man, just the sound of that sounds terrible. You know what? I'm not doing it. Forget it.
Way to go, Jordan.
I don't know whether I should feel good or bad.
No doubt. The shows are going to be terrible. It's your fault.
Sorry, everybody. I tried. I got to see you live a bunch of times, so, you know, that's everyone else's problem right now.
Wow.
In keeping with the doing vocals, you've done guest work for, like, 36 Crazy Fist, which I actually saw you show up live at the Worcester Palladium, like, 10 years ago and do it with them. And I know you've done stuff with Temptation.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider going like the Chino Moreno route and just like make a little extra income on the side by doing guest vocals for bands that would pay for your service?
I hadn't really thought of that. I don't know. I just do stuff because I like doing stuff. It's like if it piques my interest and I can somehow fit it into my strange schedule where I'm constantly on a plane or something. I don't know. But I was thinking about that recently. Just, I've done a lot of stuff like that. Didn't realize I'd done that much, but over the years, I sang on a pretty good amount of albums. That's pretty interesting.
I could probably throw out about 200 local metalcore bands that would happily pony up a good amount of money just to have you do a chorus.
That's just very weird. What? I really have never thought of that. Like Peter, you know, was in Soul Work. He and I were doing an album, but we also are helping bands write, you know, demos and just anything to do with like songwriting, arranging, you know, whatever people need help with. And I don't know. I just like the process of writing and creating. That's the one thing I have discovered over the years, is that's something I love. It's just walking in with nothing and then walking out with like tunes. There's something about that. It still makes me feel really good.
Typically, do you work so, melody first or lyrics first?
Wow, that's a good question. I think it depends on the song. Usually, I'm just listening and something comes.
Yeah.
I wish I could explain it deeper than that, but I just listen until I find something and I'll just write a line or whatever. It just something will come with it, whether it's a line or a phrase, or and then I just kind of wrap the song around it. I don't really know how to explain it other than that.
Going back to your Blood Has Been Shed days, you had songs like Uatu and Age of Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Do you still read comics?
It's actually been a little while since I've dipped my head into it really deep. Every once in a while, I'll peruse, you know, just take a look. But I still have probably a couple thousand bagged and boxed. But yeah, it's something I drifted away from. But I do miss it.
They got so expensive, like maybe 10 years ago, that kind of prevented me. Like, I couldn't see the point in dropping $4 on a comic that had like 12 pages in it.
Yeah, I still enjoy it, but my interest just kind of bounces. And so even though I still like them, if I come across one, yeah, I'll read it and I'll buy one. But, you know, my days of like hunting through to, you know, and like following series pretty regularly. Yeah, I just haven't done it in a long time because I've just been doing so much other stuff.
What were some of your go-to? Sorry about that. What were some of your go-to comics that you'd read?
Definitely X-Men. You know, kind of grew up on that. I'm a huge Spawn fan. I still have probably the first 20 or 30 issues of Spawn and a bunch of the toys and stuff. You pretty much go down the list. And the fact that the Infinity series is coming out with Avengers, like, that was a huge thing for me. But I love the whole Infinity War, just the Infinity Gauntlet, just all that stuff was fantastic. So getting to see this and getting to see Thanos on the screen, yeah, very, very happy about that.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic about Infinity War. I really hope it's going to be good, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, I don't know how true they're going to stay to comics and all that stuff. And, you know, I think it's going to be okay. I won't go expecting the world, but I'll go expecting to be entertained. They haven't let me down.
That's a good way to look at it. It's a good way to look at it, because there's always going to be a scene where it's just like, well, where's Silver Surfer? Or where's Wolverine?
Yeah.
But as long as you're entertained, that's all that matters.
But as long as it's not like a dance scene with like Peter Parker again, then we're good. Yeah.
I walked out of the theater on that one.
that physically hurt me. I was just like, oh no, this just doesn't feel right. Yeah, so yeah, as long as we're not getting that, all good.
Yeah. You wanted another Spawn movie. I want another Spawn soundtrack.
Both. I tell you what, that Spawn movie, it doesn't hold up at all. It was bad when it was released. It's bad now. But it's very entertaining. Like, every time it's on Netflix, I got to watch it.
Yeah. It's entertaining. Could it have been better? Of course. Should it have been better? Of course. But it's entertaining. It's sort of like, it's like Armageddon.
Yes.
You know what you're watching, but doesn't mean you haven't seen it about 50 times.
Yeah.
it's just one of those things.
Sometimes trash can be a real pleasure, you know? We all need these little comforts to get us through the day.
Yeah, it's like you probably got a pair of crappy flip-flops that you always wear. You know, they're crap, but they're comfortable.
Yes.
There you go.
I'd say most of my wardrobe fits under that category.
There you go.
Yeah, we're metal bloggers. We don't have to look nice.
No, not at all. Speaking of crappy comics, not too long ago, we were discussing on the show, there is a Pantera comic book that came out recently that was just completely absurd and off the wall. And it's part of a series of a whole bunch of metal band comic books that came out. Would you have any interest in coming out in comic book form?
I don't see how I would be interesting comic content. So, I mean, I haven't thought about that. And so to answer off the cuff, that just sounds like a terrible idea for me.
Well, they did put out an Opeth comic book, so nothing is out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. I guess there's two tacks of it. The new ones are like they're biography books, like the history of Pantera coming together. But they had ones in the 90s that were just like completely made up, like these guys are superheroes fighting demons and orcs and stuff. So, I mean, you could have your own original series.
Amazing.
Yeah, there's a Static X one where that happens.
See, you didn't say I could have superpowers. I was just thinking, it's just kind of storytelling. That's not interesting. Now, if I got powers or something, it's cool. I don't know. It's like, what if I could, shock you all year instead of just in the wintertime? That'd be amazing. I don't know. Just something cool. That's not really cool, but you get
it's just Electro.
Yeah, but a mild Electro.
A warm, fuzzy Electro.
I know. Like, seriously. It's about the same as just, a little shock from the socket. Yeah. Nothing that kills, just wounds. Yeah.
Just to let That's people know you're there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if I don't get my way, I will seriously annoy you.
That's a great idea. The human taser.
Yeah, it's like hand over the money, or this will be uncomfortable. Yeah, that's about as far as it goes.
I'd subscribe.
In keeping with the fun kids stuff, a while back you provided a theme song for WWE. It was originally Randy Orton's song, and it went to CM Punk. Do you still watch wrestling?
Yeah, I still watch. I haven't got to watch as much as I used to, just because I'm always doing something. But yeah, I still try to keep track. And yeah, I had actually got hired by them and sang the entrance for Chuck Palumbo too.
Well, it didn't work out so much for him, so I think in the end it worked out.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. Yeah, it was unfortunate, but it was still fun. Yeah, and I love that I've been able to do stuff with WWE. That was kind of bucket list, just to actually be watching and then kind of hear myself. It felt very strange. I can't believe this. Like, I used to go see wrestling, just bringing signs and all that good stuff. So it was very surreal for me.
They do have bands play live, especially at WrestleMania. I mean, if Limp Bizkit can get on, I mean, I think Light the Torch can definitely get on at least, maybe a year from now. I mean, that's ultimate bucket list.
Yeah, I don't know if I... that would just be very strange. Plus, I would just want to watch. I've been to WrestleMania, so yeah, I'd want to watch. I don't want to play. I want to see things get goofy.
Well, I'm sure it gets goofy backstage, too. I'm sure they'll give you a laminate, let you walk around, get a bagel at craft services.
Ooh, this is a good point. All right, maybe I should try to bucket list this. Just so I can get backstage. And just watch everything. That would seriously be amazing. Because I would just sit and watch. I'm like, nope, I don't need anything. Just let me sit here. That's madness. There's 100,000 people watching that. So that's madness.
You get a good seat in the house and you just be like, there's the Big Show. And There's Seth Rollins. I think it's a good goal to work for. I kind of want to do it now.
I like that. I like that a lot. I just can't see it ever happening, but I like it.
Stranger things have happened. Hey, I mean, Chris Jericho's band Stuck Mojo was played live on Raw, so.
That's true. And actually, Fozzy's doing fantastic. And hey, Chris, if you're listening to this, good dude.
Yeah, well, you were on his podcast a few years ago, weren't you?
Yeah, I've been on a few times. We keep in touch. He's a good dude.
He should hook you up then, or maybe bring you out to Japan at some point.
I almost went with him.
Recently?
Yeah, almost did. But I was like, well, kind of got a bunch of stuff to do, so I couldn't pull that off. But come on, go see him and Kenny Omega? Yeah. We were texting about it. But yeah, I had to keep working.
So. Oh, it's too bad. That was a great match.
Yeah, I know. I'm very aware.
So you've kind of hit a lot of things in your bucket list, like you said, and selling major albums, headlining festivals. Is there anything that you haven't achieved that you kind of want to do yet, whether it's writing your own book or something else like that?
No, not really. I just kind of like what I'm doing. You know, as long as I can keep doing it, I'm stoked. You know, I've been lucky to do it this long, and the fact that I can still continue that, that is not lost on me. I'll just try and keep going. Because if there's an ultimate goal, then that means I'm done, and I really don't want to stop. So I'll just keep going.
Do you have any touring plans set up after the release of this album?
Yeah, I would say let's go in the future and do this interview in about 2 or 3 weeks. And I would have much more information for you.
Fair enough. I know you like fishing. I know you're an outdoors guy. When it comes to touring, are you going to be like, yeah, New York City's cool, but like, isn't there a queue and brew near Lake Champlain we can go to so I can go fish?
Okay, now see, that would be awesome because I haven't gone fishing there. I know the bass fishing in Lake Champlain is out of control. But, we do bring fishing poles with us, so yeah, we'll be prepared. If the situation presents itself, oh yeah, I'm casting.
You have a standard pole, or are you into fly fishing as well?
I'm terrible at fly fishing.
It's a difficult thing, man.
I have a fly fishing pole. It's so hard. Just you think you're good at it, you're not. It's so hard. It's like, oh, I can do that. You can't. It takes so long to master that. It's just not for me. I'll still try it.
Yeah,
I'll
I've watched people
trying, but it's not for me.
Try to tie their lures, and it's just, it looks like you're working on a little semiconductor or something. It's just impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Tony Stark making his armor in the first movie, and he like got the magnifying glass, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm making a fly here. Yeah, it looks just like a trout egg." See, okay, man, it just I cannot do that. That's insanity. But it's just a lot of precision with that. I just feel like I'm too clumsy for the precision of fly fishing.
Yeah. I mean, same, absolutely. Also, I like being able to stand either in a boat or on the side of the shore. I'm not into wearing waders.
It's like, all right, let's get wet and cold and do this.
Exactly.
All right.
You're a noted fisher. You've mentioned, are you a hunter as well?
Haven't hunted. I definitely will definitely will eat wild game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I haven't gotten into that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's an entirely separate culture, I would say. I mean, I ask, your band contributed, contributed music to, was Legally Armed America, is that the name of the group?
I think it was it was like the Outdoor Channel and part of Legally Armed, something like that. Yeah, like Ryan, our bass player, he definitely likes to hunt quail and everything, you know, and just, like, you know, hunting, fantastic, especially for, like, controlling game population, all that good stuff. But, yeah, you know, that's as far as it goes. Just everything that's happened beyond that, it's devastating.
My family is full of outdoorsmen, so, you know, hunting and fishing, that's a big part of how I grew up. But it seems to me like gun culture in America, outside of for, like, sporting purposes, has gone completely off the rails, and especially seeing some of the reactions to the most recent shooting in Florida. People are afraid of their guns being taken away. That seems to be a big thing. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Honestly, no, I don't. Well, I mean, I don't have any guns at the moment. You know, I'm that's, like I say, it's just, you know, there's those that no one, I don't think those guns should be in the hands of citizens. It's not necessary. It just shouldn't be. So
it's a very weird circumstance that we're in. I mean, do you have any qualms with your music being associated with Legally Armed America, though? They've kind of dug in pretty deep with paranoia after the Florida shooting. They seem to be directing.
I don't watch any programming or anything like that. I'm a little out of the loop with them. I basically don't even, I don't watch much TV these days. I couldn't tell you what they do. And plus, that our involvement with them was with WNO, and that's dead. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think that I think you got probably the right idea. This the country would be a more peaceful place if everybody picked up fishing instead of shooting.
Yeah, I love being outdoors. I love nature. I'm just kind of a bit of a loner at times. So hearing that is just. Just disturbing. I mean, what can you say beyond that? That things have to change. Yeah, it's. I'd much rather just be enjoying outside. It sucks that this is a conversation that has to be had now. It's terrible.
You've been doing this for so long. Like, does it get to be a drag having to, you know, slog through a million interviews and, you know, all the photos? And is it, what's the hardest part about promoting?
It's probably when you just kind of become part of, you know, the mill, and you're doing an interview and someone has not done any sort of research on you or anything, and it's like, okay, you're going to spend this much time with me and you didn't even look at anything, listen to anything, you know, and so now what are we going to talk about? You're going to ask me some bad questions. So it gets a little strange like that. Well, I think my favorite one as of recent was the guy asked me, he said, so on, you know, on the album, he's like, so the song Virus, this is about your diabetes? Wow. I said, Number one, not a virus. Number two, oh my God, that's the worst question I've ever been asked. It was, this really happened.
I'm so glad that you could share that with us.
Things like that. Oh, I have millions of things like that. It happens. Or what was the one I heard of? Well, you don't sound like you're depressed. Oh, whatever.
Holy shit.
Okay.
You got me.
Yeah, all right. So, you just never know what's going to come at you. And it can be a little off-putting. But most of the time, you know, it's just part of it. You just, you do it and try to have fun with it. That's honestly how I look at it. It's like, okay, well, try to have fun with an interview and move on to the next one.
Is there anything else that you want to know, that you want to let us know, whether it's about the album, about Light the Torch, anything else that our listeners should know?
Album comes out in March. We really had a good time recording it, as we went through so much. And it kind of bonded us. And we did this album without the record label on us, without anybody on us. We were like, okay, let's just make an album with a bunch of melody and a bunch of good tunes. And we hope you like it. I guess.
Hell yeah. That album is called Revival. It's out March 30th on Nuclear Blast. We will have all the necessary links to pre-order below this media player right here.
Oh!
I wish I would have named it anything
gotta
else.
Ask. What was the thought behind it?
It was an inside joke with a friend saying that he flushes all of these posers down the toilet of hell. And I made the name as a joke, and I didn't realize I would be doing this site 4 years later.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I
understand.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.